Today's daf is Kuf Mem Tes. Yesterday you commented about Kemach. Today you have to comment about.
It's a crease.
It's a very old thing, you know.
Kematim.
That's right. It's you got to do the beep test and see the pinch test or whatever they call it. On those levels. Anyway, two lines from the bottom are Kuf Mem Ches Amud Beis. Amar Rav Sheshes. So we're talking again about the concept of the Matan Shchivim Arav, which is basically what the whole Bust Perek's about. And now he goes into the actual Loshen. So we talked about estimating a person's mind about what he meant to do with regards to if he gave half to somebody, if he changed his mind in the middle. Then we talked about, the last thing was about if he makes it Hektish, has it got the same rules as giving it away? Is he more generous to Hektish? Then we talked about what if he makes it Hefker, etc. So Rav Sheshes now talks about the actual Loshen that he uses. Says Rav Sheshes, if a guy's trying to give stuff as a Shchiv Mira, yeah, and he uses the expression Yitol, Reuven should take this Chelik, other V'yizke, he should be Zoyche to it, V'yachzik, he should take possession of it, V'yikne, he should acquire it, Kulam. All of those things work like it's a matnas chivra. They all imply that it's a gift, and therefore it takes effect.
So some of these things that he's using is actually doing forms of kinyan. The chol and matana is without doing any action.
Yeah. So that. Oh, so that's what I think. I think that's the chiddush over here.
The
chiddush that is.
These will show us legabe the makabel.
Understand, yeah.
Good, but if a guy said normally, if he wasn't a shchiv mara, and he says yikne, that Moshe says that would mean he should make a kinyan.
Yes.
That's what yikne is. But here, yeah. he said the whole chiddush that even though it's lishonus, you wouldn't necessarily have thought so. But it's again, I think it's umda. When a guy because a guy knows he's about to die, so when he says yikne, he doesn't mean make a kinyan. He means just simple translation.
Correct.
He acquires it.
But on the other hand, when it's a matana for the guy to acquire it, he doesn't need to do anything to acquire the matana. He doesn't need to do any pu'olit for the matana.
But shchiv mara.
Exactly.
Correct.
Now, yeah, the recipient doesn't have to do
that. So even though some of these lashonis might normally imply something different, but when the shchiv mara says these words, we assume he means that he's giving them as a gift. Masnisa tana, and there's a brisa which adds on also, af yachsin v'yaris. He will store it, and Yiras means he'll inherit it. What do you mean he'll inherit it? How can inheriting be a loshen of matana? So he says beroi liyorshoi, as we've had before, that a person cannot change the rules of Yerusha by giving something to somebody instead of someone else. That's lost Yerusha. But if he gives a gift to someone who's Ro'il Yerusha, we had the famous Rabbi Echanan Breikahi who says that works. Yadvar of Kayomi. If the recipient is Ro'il Lirush, then he can give it to him. He can cheat. Yeah? If he has multiple sons, he can say that Reuven gets instead of Shimon or something like that, then it works. So in the same way, because Yerusha in that sense is a matana, so even though here he uses the word Yerusha, but a Shchiv Mara, even when he says Yerusha, he really means a gift, which is very good for a situation where a person wants to write a will, whether he uses the word inherit or doesn't use the word inherit, or it's, you know, the secular legal things, whatever. But even if he says in there, someone should inherit, you know, this child inherits, a relative inherits, then if the mechanism is that the will is a matna shchiv mara, then even if he uses the word inherit, it still works. That's the mashma from here. So that's. Which means?
Devise?
Yeah. Doesn't devise usually mean?
Devious.
No, devise means to come up with an idea, like you devise a plan. You don't usually devise anything besides a plan, do you? Okay. Last couple words. Yibolahu. So those words, according to Rav Sheshes, all mean a matana. What about top of the page? Yehenebehem. If he says that Reuven should benefit from my property. Now this is a little bit more outlandish. Then the question is a mahu. Now we're not really sure. Does he mean the nevu kula matana kama? Does it also mean a gift like all these other lashonos? Maybe he just means literally he should have some benefit from it, like let's say Paris or whatever. Yeah. So that one is questionable.
It's like the one where the husband gives the wife a present of the asset, but after her death it goes to children or something.
The Paris.
Yeah.
So here he says beferish that so and so should have a gnaw. So that one we're not quite sure. That one actually could mean something else. He will be seen in them. Mahu, what does that mean? Yamid behen, he should stand in them, mahu. Yishoy behen, he'll lean in them, mahu. All of these ones are more ambiguous, teku, so we don't know whether that actually means a lotion of a gift or not. Next question. Yiboylahu. So we talked about if he gives away everything, so we know that has a din of a matnash chivmara, that if he has a miraculous recovery, he can change his mind and take it all back. We asked the question, what about Hektish? We asked the question, what about if he makes it Hefker? What about if he gives it all to Tzedakah? There's all various questions we asked. Now the question is, Mochar Kol Nechasa. What if he didn't give away all his property, but he sold all his property? So again, you have a guy on his deathbed, and he sells everything. So if he sells absolutely everything that he owns, is the pshat that, oh, so again, he's thinking that he's going to die, otherwise he would keep something for himself.
What does he need the money fact for?
That, that's the chiluk, so that's the whole question, yeah? Do we say that the fact that he keeps the money shows that he's thinking of living, maybe? and therefore, maybe it has a din of a shchiv mera? Or is it the fact that he gave it? No, it is a proper mechira. Because he's planning to live and he's selling, so then it's a normal sale. Or is the pshat that he's only doing it because he's going to die, otherwise he wouldn't sell absolutely everything he's got, and therefore if he didn't die, the whole thing was not intended, and therefore he can be chayzer. All of these questions are, can he back out the transaction if he lives? Yeah?
Wouldn't you have the same question in the event that he would die? He sold everything, is that same
If he died, it shouldn't make any difference.
I'm saying, who gets
if he died, whether it was a matnash chiv mera or it was a normal sale, it's sold. Either way. That's for sure true. The only question is, if he doesn't die, can he nullify the transaction? Can he change his mind? Is Omar Rabbi Yehud Omar Rav imav aneinu chayzer? No, if he recovers, he cannot change his mind. Because it's a valid sale, that's it. V'zimnin Omar Rabbi Yehud Omar Rav imav aneinu chayzer. Sometimes, if you ask him the question Shaila on a Wednesday, he said that he is chayzer, he can change his mind when he recovers from his illness. So what's going on here? V'loy pligi, and he doesn't argue with himself. It's an interesting expression, loy pligi, when it's the same person talking, you'd hope it loy pligi. What's the difference? The difference is, how the istnahu lezuzi be'enayhu, when he sold the stuff, what did he do with the money? If he kept the money and didn't spend any of it, so what's he thinking? He's thinking that if I recover, I need to give the money back because I'm going to keep all my stuff. So I only am selling it on the understanding that I'm not recovering. Right? Otherwise, why did he keep the money in his safe deposit box? He should go and spend it. He should go and have a party with it. He should do whatever he wants with it. Yeah. Why did he keep the money be'ain? Because he's planning to give it back if he has a recovery. If he, let's say, paid his debt with it. Yeah. If he paid his debt with that money, that means he wasn't planning. That means he was
really
not planning to give it back.
Really, right?
No, he thought, I need the money. Stuff dying. I need the money. I need to. So he sold it, and I'm going to repay the bills. The person who really thinks he's dying, he doesn't. It's not so much about. Yeah. If he only sold it because he thought he was dying, then he would want to be in a position where, if he didn't die, he would not sell it, and he would give the money back and live happily ever after. So that's he would keep the money so he could give it back. If he doesn't bother keeping the cash on hand, and he goes and pays bills and does whatever, Yeah, that means that he's not planning to give the money back in case he recovers. So that means that he is legitimately giving it all away. Okay, so that's that question. Next question. So here's an interesting one. So we talked about giving things away, yeah, and we're estimating. And what happens if he's not giving things away, but he just pops out with an admission, I owe so-and-so $5,000? Yeah, so is that valid? There's no evidence to this. There's no aiding to this that he actually owed the money, whatever. He just says. So normally if a person admits that he owes somebody money, unless he has aiding lined up, yeah, and he's doing it after a formal admission, if he has a formal admission, yes, I owe somebody money, and he calls over two witnesses and he says, okay, I'm making you the witnesses that I owe him money in order that he has a right to claim from me in court, etc., then that's valid. But if I just come up to you in the back of shul and go, hey, Javi, I owe you $5,000, right, then I'm joking. And you can't take me to court now and say, oh, I admitted it. Yeah, that doesn't count. An admission has to be formal, and I have to say the witnesses. Even if you hide witnesses behind the fence, right, and I admit it to you and they hear it, that also doesn't count. Because I didn't know they were there. I didn't know they were there. I can tell you I was joking, right? But if they're physically there and I say to them, okay, guys, you listen up, then that's proper aiders. Yeah? So what about a shchiv merah? So we said normally you would need definitely proper witnesses, etc. What happens if the guy's on his deathbed? So we've broken the rules here. Just like he can give away everything without a kinyan, he can do all these other things without making a proper transaction. Maybe he could also be moida without witnesses, without making the formal transaction of being moida. So what happens then if he's moida? Does the other guy get it or not? Toshima. Do we accept this haidah or not? Is Toshima. So let's have a look at what it says. We had a story with a guy called Isser Giyoira. He was a ger, that's why they called him Giyoira. Yeah. There was Isser the ger. Havalei, it was a whole story with him. He was there's a story we learned in Ksubis where Shmuel's daughters were captured by Chveis, ISIS, or whoever does capturing these days. Hey? Yeah. No, so it wasn't ISIS, it was Chveis, Hamas. Yeah, they were captured.
Yeah.
And there in that sugya, the whole question was about it. One says nishpesi utahira ni apesha aser apesha hit. We had the whole apesha aser apesha hit story. That's what that was all about.
Yeah.
But one of Shmuel's daughters was actually violated by one of the thugs. Yeah, and what happened was she got pregnant, and meanwhile, the thug was hanging around trying to get his ransom, and they told him to go and wait in the kollel. And after listening to some of the wonderful shurim in the kollel, he decided to convert. He said, forget it, I'm going to marry her and I'll bring up the kid. I'm not going to just walk away. So that's why he became a ger. So his name is Isser Giyoira. So the problem is that this child that was born from that pregnancy, was by the time the child was born, his father was Jewish. But when his mother conceived, the father wasn't Jewish. So in the laws of Yerusha, he's not entitled to inherit. Yeah, because the conception was the father wasn't Jewish. There's no Yerusha of a non-Jewish father. So what happened over here? Issa Giyera Havel Etreser Alfezuzi BeRava. Somewhere along the line, he lent Rava 12,000 zuz, or he gave it as a pikadon, whatever. Somehow Rava owed him 12,000 bucks, and Rava had the money. Now, Rav Mori was on his deathbed, and he wants to get that money to his kid, as you do.
Rav Mori was the one who was born out of the...
Sorry. Issa Giyori was on his deathbed. His son was... Yeah. So the son who was born became a normal rabbi, and his name was Rav Mori. His name was Rav Mori. So he wanted to get those 12,000 bucks to his son, Rav Mori. Rav Mori Berei, and as we know, Rav Mori, his son, the conception was not when the father wasn't Jewish, because he was the capturer? The Lidasa Biktusha, by the time he was born, the father was Jewish. Sorry, that was the Hava, that was the story with him. Ube Rav Hava. And his son was a Yeshiva Bacher, Kolonik, whatever, a guy in Yeshiva. It's Omar Rava. So Rava's got the money in his hand. Now, Rava's a businessman, sort of. And he's thinking to himself, I got 12,000 bucks here. This guy's a gear. If he dies, I get the money. As long as no one else pinches it before me. So I got to make sure that I don't let him somehow get it to his son, because it's not halachically a son in that aspect for Yerusha. So Rava says, as long as I keep the money away from Rav Mori, I'm in business. $12,000. Heichan ikninu. So he's Rav Mori lahani nizuzi. What do I have to worry about that Rav Mori could acquire that money that's sitting in my cupboard over there? Ibi Yerusha. For me to worry about a straight inheritance, I don't have to worry about. Because Lav Bar Yerushahu, he's not a son conceived in Yiddishkeit, and therefore he's not going to inherit. Ibn Matana, if his father will just announce, I'm giving a gift, like because he's a Shchivmara, he's on his deathbed. We said it's like Yerusha. In what sense is it like Yerusha? It's not like Yerusha in that the guy doesn't have to be his relative. But it is like Yerusha, in other that the person has to be as someone. No, it doesn't need a kinyan, but it's called Yerusha, so it needs to have those. So it has to be someone who was an inheritor, a roi to be an inheritor, not a guy who was born when his father wasn't Jewish or who was conceived his father wasn't Jewish. No, but he has to be a Jew who's bar Yerusha, who can inherit from somebody. This Rav Mori can't inherit from anybody. Because he was conceived by a non-Jewish man. So there is no... The concept of Yerusha doesn't exist by him. From his father's side, anyway. Yeah? Because they called it Yerusha, just like he can't inherit from his father, he doesn't inherit either from a Matnash... He can't get a Matnash Chivmara either. That was a... It's a bit of a long bow, but that's what he says. Yeah, he says, Kol Heicha the Issa B'Yerusha. Anybody who would be roi, who would be fitting and appropriate to inherit... Issa Matana can get it as a gift also. Kol Heicha the less of Yerusha. Somebody who cannot do any inheriting, less of Matana. It's like one of those Kol HaRo'i. Yeah, Kol HaRo'i Yerusha, then ain Kinyan Makeves, but you know. If he could get it, then you don't need a Kinyan. But someone who's not in the whole ball game of getting Yerusha, he can't get a Matna Shchivara either.
Even Shchivara can't give a Matna Shchivara to any girl.
To a gear that is, yeah, well, that's right. That's the upshot of this. Yeah.
Because the matana doesn't take into effect when he says it takes effect when it does. That's why it doesn't.
Yeah.
He's not giving
the
matana today. He's giving
the matana. Okay. They gave it the rules of inheritance, even though it's a gift. Even Mashicha. So, what will Rav Mori have to do? He'll have to make a kinyan. So we'll take the money and he'll schlep it to himself. That's a kinyan, Mashicha, pulling it.
How are at the time of death?
At some point, no. Time of death is too late.
Right.
Sometime before he dies, right. Yeah. Less nugabe. The problem is the money's in my cupboard and I ain't letting him in, so he can't do it. There ain't no kinyan Mashicha going on here. Ibe chalipin. How do you normally acquire something that ain't around? You do chalipin. Chalipin means that you give me your hanky.
Yeah.
And I give you the property in Sydney, yeah, because we don't want to schlep to Sydney, so we can make a kinyan like that. So he thinks that Rav Mori will give his father his hanky, or his shoe, as it was by Boyaz, yeah, Shalaf Ishnala. He'll give him the shoe, and he will acquire the money b'chol mokim shehem, and that's how we'll get the money. I'm sorry, eimat benik the b'chalipin, as we learned in Mav Metzia, the chalipin works on everything except money. You cannot acquire cash in that fashion. That sort of an acquisition doesn't work. I agav karka. Another approach you could try to use is that if you have, you can't just acquire cash if it's not here. You have to make some kind of kinyan. But if you are buying land, yeah, then we know that once you have a transaction involving land, you can put into the contract also other things that are not physically here. And it works. So you could acquire money together with land. I sell you a piece of property, and I write in that included in it is $10,000, then you'd be a coin of those $10,000, even if that money's not around and visible. So maybe he should do that. He should give him a piece of land together with the money. The problem is, Leslayara, Yisr Gyeva doesn't have any land, so he can't give it to him together with land because he hasn't got any land to give him. Ibn Mamet Shloshton. So there was one more way that a person can acquire money without a kinyan, and that is that if Reuven owes Shimon money and Shimon owes Levi money, then if the three of them are there, then Shimon can say, cut out the middleman, and Reuven gives the money straight to...
Reb Nosson.
Yeah, Reb Nosson, yeah. Cut out the middleman. Yeah. So therefore, what that I owe Issa Giyera money. Issa Giyera wants to owe his son money. So Issa Giyera says, cut out the middleman, and I should give it straight to his son. But it has to be Maimut Shloshton. That only works if all three people are present in the room. So Issa Giyera is going to try to get me to come and be present with his son? Ishalach Lilay Azilna. I'm not coming. I'm not going to go. If he calls me to come and visit him, I know what he's up to. Yeah. As soon as I walk into the room and his son's there, he's going to go, snap, you got to give him the money. Yeah. And so I'm not going.
So was Rava trying to work out a way for Mori to get the money?
No!
Rava wants to keep the
Rava was trying to work out how to keep the money.
That's not very nice.
Well,
he's a sharp businessman.
Well, you know.
There's a whole lot of stories.
Business is business.
Exactly. There's one story, remember when the Rapunda the Papa had to cross the river and they diddled the ferryman out of his fare? Oh my
God. Yeah, business is business. There's Maski Floravika Bered Ravami.
I was doing kunsin in those days.
Yeah, kunsin, all right. So Ravika Brei Ravami says, that's the second Rava. Amai. Veloidi Issa. So the whole question started with, if he makes an admission, does that have the effect as if there was a kinyan? He's moida that he owes somebody money. So why does an Issa be moida? Let him be moida that that money belongs to his son. And if an admission by a shchivmara works without any other type of action, just by saying that now it belongs to Rav Mori.
Who's going to advise him about
it? Oh, just a second. He should say that this thing is, that he should be moida that he owes him the money, v'liknino b'adisa, and he'll acquire it just by the admission. Is adahachi? So while these rumors were swirling around on the, you know, on the blogs and whatever, is nafik idisa by Isser. So an announcement came out from Isser's house, from the hospital room, wherever he was, that says that Isser was moida that his son owes him, that he owes his son $12,000. So it worked. He did what that last piece of advice came along. Ikbid Rava. So Rava got angry. Omar, he says, Kamagmari Tainasala Inchi, someone's going around teaching people what to claim. Well, Mavsa Dali, and it's costing me money because some Talmud Chacham went and told Issa that
so
this is the way to do it.
I lost
$12,000 because of this other people mixing in and giving him good advice.
I'm surprised the Gemara hasn't brought the whole Indian that state material is Loiver Rosha Velo Yishalom Mitzalik Fenim Venosim. That if a person borrows and doesn't repay, he's called a Rosha.
How do you know he was borrowing?
Because he has a debt.
No, he creates. It doesn't matter.
It might have been a pikodin. It might have been anything.
You
don't know that it was a debt.
The Shimon says it. You don't question whether it's true or not.
No. He's talking about Rava.
I'm asking a question on Rava.
He's talking about Rava.
Rava borrowed $12,000. He owed $12,000.
He's bothered by the fact that Rava wanted to keep this money.
I'm saying a state like Leiber,
it's bothering all of us, I think.
It's a Rosha who borrows and doesn't repay. How can the Rava, as a tzaddik, how can
he didn't borrow? Because he borrowed, he could have used it. He's hanging to the money the guy gave him in the Chachina. He was a banker. He had the coins in his safe deposit box. He had the money in his safe deposit box.
He was a
shomer.
I just
want to
find the
lesson.
He's a good.
Tosfos asked a question: Why didn't Rava do mitzvah l'kayim divrei hames? Yeah, and he says mitzvah l'kayim divrei hames is only when the mace says something. That doesn't answer the sort of the moral question, does it? That's a technical question.
Isur Giyera Havale Treis Alfez Uzi Be Rava. He adds $12,000
in Rava's house.
Yeah.
It doesn't say
how he got it.
No. Maybe he deposited. He trusted
it could have been done some other way. You know?
You're right.
Meili says here they bring a thing that he didn't really want to rip what's his name off. He didn't want to rip Mori off. He wanted to planning to turn over the money to Rav Meili in accordance with what presumably is Issa's wishes.
He was planning to.
Yeah. The Meili's view and Rava took exception to the fact that he was caused a loss by reporting of Rav's suggestion. He was not referring to the loss of Issa's money per se. Rather, he was saying that he could no longer claim credit for acting charitably in turn the money.
That's a good way to blame it on Rava. We need to go on.
When Issa dies, then the money's hefka, right?
It's in Rava's house, so it's cleaning automatically. It's that second. So according to the Meiri, Rava wanted the schus of returning the money, and someone else took that schus away from him. Well, it's good to find a way that Rava's acting ethically.
But if Rava's kind, then he can give him a ton. You're a nice guy. You're such a good guy.
No, I'm saying that Rava is losing the schus. No. Now that the guy gets it bedin, so Rava's not giving him a matana. So Rava loses his mitzvah of being nice.
But I'm saying, you asked it to you that if it's hefker, then why doesn't Rava tell what's going to be koyin? So he says, because Rava is really automatically koyin and conceal his
position. Yeah.
Okay, so then once he's got it, he's a nice guy and he says, hey, this is your final.
No, but he's not getting it now. Now that someone gave him advice to be moida, so now Rava doesn't get it. So he lost the opportunity to give the money as tzedakah.
And if this would have happened,
if nobody would have told him anything, then he could have got the money. According to the Meiri, Rava would have given him the money anyway.
Exactly.
But he would have done it and said,
he
would have had the mitzvah of tzedakah. He would have had the schus of doing a good deed. Now he's not doing a good deed. The Bezdin are telling him, you've got to give it to him.
Is it tzedakah or is it Hashavas Aveda?
Whatever you want to call it. No, it's not Hashavas Aveda. If it was an Aveda, you have to give it to him. It's a tzedakah. Okay, we need to move on. Top of the page. Okay, so going back, the words of the Mishnah were Shir Karka Kolsho, the words of the Mishnah, even though it doesn't have two dots here, but it is the words of the Mishnah. When the Shechiv Merah is giving out all of his property, and he left a little bit of land for himself, so we said that implies that he kept a bit for himself, that even if he survives, that's all he's going to have, and the rest of it is a valid matana, is matanosa kayama, so the gift is valid. So the first question is, of course, Kama Kolshahu. How much is a little bit? It says karka kolshahu, a little bit of land. What's a little bit? Come on, name names. Give us a number. Zomar Yehuda Amar Rav, karka kedei panasosai. Enough land that you could get some produce out of it. You get a few apples out of it, a few peas or carrots that you could live on. Rav Yirmiyah Baraba Amar metaltlin kedei panasosai. It doesn't even have to be land. It can even be metaltlin. The karkas love dafke. No, kinyan agav. If a guy retained some of his possessions enough that he can make a living from and feed himself, that shows that he's thinking that he might live. And if he give away stuff when he thinks he's going to live, then that's a valid gift, and he can't backtrack. Okay, so that's what Rabbi Yirmiyah Bar Abba said. Even metaltlin is omer abzera kama mechav the shmata the sabi. How wonderful are these words and these teachings of the old rabbis, Rabbi Yirmiyah Bar Abba, Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Yirmiyah Bar Abba? Why? Because karka time amawat, that he says it's even applies to metatlin, even to chattels. Why? Because karka time amai. What's the logic behind the fact that if he kept for himself a little bit of land, that means that the gift remains even if he recovers? The ikoi samichale, because that means what he's doing is that he is relying on the fact that if he recovers, he will have that little bit of land to support himself with, and therefore the rest of it he's giving away regardless. Is metaltinami, that logic doesn't have to be land. Yeah, if that's the whole logic, then metaltinami, ikoi samichaluya, that if he recovers from his illness, he will use those objects that he retained for himself to live on, and the rest of the gift remains in place. So that's what Rav Zeira said, that this is wonderful. Master for Rav Yosef, my kavanta. What's so wonderful about it? What, you're saying it's mechuvan, means it's directed nicely, yeah? What's so wonderful about this statement? It doesn't really follow. Manda amr metaltalin. The one who says metaltalin, remember Amma, who's mechadish that it applies to metaltalin. Karkatzdan. How can what he says be wonderful when the Mishnah says it has to be land? If the din is like him, that it can be metaltalin, why does the Mishnah say karka? The Mishnah says karka means land. Otherwise, it should just say epis mashru. Yeah, and even the mando amar kedei panasosai, even according to Rav, who says it's karka take, but how much karka does he need? Enough to live off, but that's not what the Mishnah says either. Kolshu, now the Mishnah says kolshu. Kolshu means the tiniest drop. Doesn't have to be kedei panasosai. So where did these rabbis get this from? It's very nice what they're saying, but it doesn't fit with the words of the Mishnah. Zomalei, Abayas says back to him, 1 minute. Your first question was that because it says karka, it means dafka land, even though it uses the word karka is dafka. V'chol heicher etani karka, karka dafka. You think just because the Mishnah used the word land, it means land always? It cannot be sort of an example, and really it means other things as well. But no, what about this Mishnah? Okay, so called nechas of la'avdoi, somebody writes a contract that he's giving away all of his possessions to his slave. Talking an Eved Knani over here. Yeah, now whenever Knani can't really acquire things in his own right because Mashakana Evid Kana Rabbah, whatever he acquires automatically goes to the master. So what happens when the master wants to give him his freedom? He has to give him his freedom at the same time as he gives him like Yodai Vegita Boinka Echad, that's where he gets the ability to acquire himself into freedom. So what happens if he gives him everything he owns? Kol Nechosav. So included in that is himself. He's one of the Nechosim of the owner. Is Yotze Ben Chayrin. So now the slave is free. Because just like he gave everything else to the slave, he gave the slave himself to himself. Yeah. What about if Shir Karka Kol Shu? What if the contract says, except for a little bit of land, I'm giving everything to Rudolf, my slave. Not Tovi, we know about Tovi. Rudolf. He's giving everything to Rudolf, his slave, except for a little bit of land. Lo Yotze Ben Chayrin. He doesn't go free. Because maybe that little bit of land is a euphemism for Rudolf himself. And Rab Shimon says, La'olam hu ben chayrin. No, he's always going to be free, and he acquires himself as a free man. Unless he uses the expression, I'm giving everything to Rudolf, my slave, chutz me'echad miribish abahen, except for 1/10,000th of it, because that 1/10,000th could be Rudolf himself. So he doesn't acquire himself, and therefore he doesn't acquire anything else either. Yeah? So that's the argument. According to the first guy, the Tanakhama, if he says karka, even the word karka could mean Rudolf himself. According to Reb Shimon, no, it has to be an ambiguous 1/10,000th, and that could be Rudolf himself. V'yom Rav Dimi bar Yosef, Amar Blazar, on top of the page, Rav Dimi explains on this story, Asu metaltalin shiur 8:11. When it comes to this story of giving everything to the Yevid, even Metaltalin is considered left over, right? So he says, I am giving him everything except for some Metaltalin. He's also, it doesn't say which Metaltalin, yeah? Some Metaltalin, he also doesn't acquire himself because that's considered leaving something behind. And therefore, that Metaltalin might even refer to the slave. But Loyos Metaltalin Shiretz Aksuba. In the case of the Aksuba, they didn't make a shear of metaltan. There we learned about if a person writes all the chosim and he gave a karka, a little bit of land to his wife, she lost the ksuba. Yeah, if you remember, because she's moichel by the fact that she got a piece of land, she's moichel the ksuba. But there it means karka dafke. So he says that by that case, the land means really literally land. But over here, when it talks about the slave, it doesn't have to be literally land. It could be anything. Yeah, so what are you telling me, says Abaya to Reb Dimi? Or there has to be dafka land because it says karka. We see a Mishnah where it says karka. It doesn't mean dafka land. So he answers, Hasam, over there by the din in Peya about the slave. Bidin hu delelisni karka. Really, it should not have said land. Because the first part of that Mishnah, the first part of that ratio, Rabbi Akiva, Imer, karka, kolshu, chayevus, bepeya, that Mishnah started off talking about land. Even the smallest piece of land, you have to give Peya, which is the tzedakah out of the land, it would be kurim, you have to take bikurim on the first fruits and take it to Yerushalayim. Velichta v'lei pruzbul, you can use it throughout a pruzbul if you want to keep the debts going through Shemitah year. Velichta simuam nechasim, and you can use it as a method for acquiring other possessions, she'en lamachrayis, which are not land, v'kesev v'shtar v'chazaka, using the transactional methods of land. So in that sense, because Rabbi Akiva mentioned karka, mishum hachi katani karka, that's why he said karka over there. But otherwise, so therefore you can say karka is lavdav. So there you can say karka is lavdavke. But over here, if the Mishnah didn't mean karka, the Mishnah shouldn't have said karka. All right, we're still in the middle of the